everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I would like to thank the elders of the congregation for allowing me to speak this evening and that the prayers on my behalf. I pray that what I have studied can be beneficial to everyone this evening. I wanted to talk to you this evening about courage. In our Christian walk in the kingdom, we come across certain situations that require us to make a decision. In today's day and age, people often refer to this as fight or flight. Whether we are going to run or stand and fight for what we know is right. We all have different levels of courage. Certain situations don't frighten us, but to the next person, they might freeze at the thought of that situation that they might be in. In the Bible, we see many acts of courage, both in the Old and the New Testament. These examples can aid us in our Christian walk today. With a strong faith in God, we can be courageous. We must not let fear creep in and corrupt us and hinder us when we have the power of God backing us. And with this power, what do we have to fear? Courage can be defined as one who has the ability to do something that frightens one, and the Strong's Concordance defines courage as to be alert physically, mentally, and to make strong oneself and to prevail. In the Bible, there are many examples. In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was able to find that saving grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was able to have that strong faith and courage to believe in God when all of man had turned away and were deeply corrupted by sin. For Noah was going through some frightening times when the flood happened. He took courage to keep his faith and save his family on the ark. Another Old Testament example of courage is when God went to Moses and told him that he would deliver the Israelites from the bonds of Egypt. In Exodus, the third chapter, when God appears to Moses in the burning bush, God tells him what he shall do. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God tells Moses that his people are oppressed and in need of God's help. God proceeds to tell Moses what he shall do to save the Israelites from Egypt. Moses is hesitant and asks God in the following verse in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses did not feel that he was the man for the job. Moses did not feel courageous to do what God had asked him to do to save God's people from the bonds of Egypt. For God also said to Moses in verse 12, "So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God did not ask Moses to do this task alone. God told him that he would be with him throughout this task. With God supporting Moses, it gave him a foundation of courage to go to Egypt and free the Israelites from their bonds. Fast forward 200 to 300 years to the time of David and Goliath. David, being the youngest son of Jesse, went before all of Israel to fight Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Jesse's sons were to come before the Lord to see who was to be chosen as the next king of Israel. When all of Jesse's sons had passed by Samuel, he asked in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." In Strong Concordance, the word youngest in verse 11 is translated as literally the youngest, smallest, and lesser of the sons of Jesse. Samuel anointed David as the new king of Israel in secret. The Spirit of the Lord came over David from that time on. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God had chosen David to be the new king of Israel. God saw that David's heart was good. In the story of David versus Goliath, David is to go before all of Israel and Judah to fight Goliath to see who will serve the other. Goliath being a giant of a man, we see how ferocious he was in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 7. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 500 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went out before him. Goliath is said to be 6 cubits in a span, which is about 9 foot 9 inches. He is said to have a coat of chainmail that is 500 shekels of bronze, that is close to 150 pounds in today's weight, and his spear ranging from 12 to 26 pounds. A mountain of a man could only be able to wear and wield this type of armor and weapon. David went before Saul, and Saul told him in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Goliath was a warrior from the time he was a young boy, well experienced in battle. But that did not frighten David. David explained to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 37. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out and struck it. I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David showed Saul that he was not afraid to go before Israel to defeat Goliath. David showed that God was with him in those trying times and instilling courage in his actions. Saul did not believe this young man could go into battle. David knew that taking action against Goliath was necessary. He knew he had God on his side to support him through this battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42 through 45, "And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' And David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David, being the youngest of his family, Goliath mocked his stature. Goliath also failed to take his faith and courage in God seriously. David took courage to defeat Goliath and to turn the battle in the favor of God's army. We can also see many great examples of courage in the New Testament. One of the greatest examples is when Christ gave his life for our sins. We see this in Luke, the 22nd chapter, that before the trial of Christ and his death, he goes up to the Mountain of Olives to pray. He prayed to his Father for help. In Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 44, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Christ knew that he was about to take on the whole world's sins. He prayed to God to take this cup of agony and death from him. Christ had courage to take on the betrayal, the trial, and crucifixion, to brave the world's sins on himself. In John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ was so courageous to love sinners like us, even before we were upon this earth, and to bear our sins on himself. Christ was frightened enough to be sweating blood, but he still kept his courage to go forth with the commandment from God. After the ascension of Jesus, there were many people that gave their lives for Christ so that others could turn from their sinful ways and know that Christ had saved them from their sins. We see in Acts 7th chapter, when we look at the story of Stephen's speech to the Jewish council, cut them to the heart. They did not like what Stephen had to say about them, so they lashed out against him in anger. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, did not stop believing in God even until his death. He preached that Christ was God's Son sitting at his right hand. As we have looked at these biblical examples, we too can apply the same courage to our daily lives. In the story of Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and obeyed God and his will. We can also see the grace and mercy from God shown through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We can take courage knowing that Jesus came to this earth to save us from sin. We can also learn from the courage of Moses that with the support of God, he was able to save the Israelites from their bonds. We are also to help save those who might be lost to sin by teaching and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We can take courage knowing that Christ is with us at all times. We can take that same courage and teach those who we can only reach and tell them of the saving graces that was given to us through baptism. We are also anointed as God's chosen people through baptism, just as David was anointed king of Israel. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We will have to face our own battles, just as David had to face his battle with Goliath. Take courage in knowing that we have strength from Christ, that we have the same heart as David did. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Lord, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is, the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." God's love for us reaches everywhere. Take courage in your daily walk, knowing that God's love for you is everywhere, and that no matter what Goliath stands before you, that you will have the courage to overcome it. We can also take courage in knowing that Christ laid down his life for our sins. Christ obeyed his Father's command to sacrifice his life for all, for both Jew and Gentile. In John chapter 10, verses 15 through 16, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Christ laid down his own life that we all may be risen with him in baptism. This is what we must bring to every creature in the kingdom. This is what we are tasked with. For many have been killed preaching the name of Christ, just as Stephen. As we close, I wanted to ask you this. In the times of the Old Testament, the Israelites were faced a battle against armies and giants in the name of God. We are now tasked to spread the word of God so that they can accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and be raised with him in baptism. So I ask you this. What hinders you to stand up for what God has tasked us to do in his kingdom? We all know and are around people that need saving. We have courage in knowing God is supporting you the whole way, and to never lose faith. I'd like to leave you with this closing passage from Psalms 31st chapter, verse 24. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all who hope in the Lord." In closing, I'd like to thank everybody that could make it out to our Wednesday night services. If there is anyone that would like to start their journey in their walk with Christ tonight, we can surely aid you. If you have a need of the church, whether it be prayers or help, We invite you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song.